Lecture 2, Geography and Environment.
The name Mesopotamia, which is a Greek term that describes the land that lay between two rivers, hints at the importance of geography to our understanding of the region. It's also the only Greek you'll learn in this course, but as a Hellenist, I feel I have to convey it frequently. In this lecture, I will first give a brief overview of the geography to orient you. Then we will look more specifically at water availability within the region. If you recall the Uruk vase that we discussed in the first lecture, we saw that at the bottom of the vase there was a river flowing, and around and above it was the rest of civilization, domesticated animals, human cultivation, the worship of the gods. And so that gave us a very good idea of the importance of water. After describing the water resources, we will examine the variety of environments and how these different environments promoted certain lifestyles within Mesopotamia. Then we'll take a look at what resources were not readily available, but were highly desired, and how they were acquired, usually by a ruler, as a way to convey his authority and his control of these exotic resources. Finally, I will try to unravel the web of different names that are applied to this region and explain why we use them. There is a method to the madness. A look at a map of the region shows a diverse geography of plains, mountains, deserts, and marshlands. Central and southern Mesopotamia consists of a fertile plain that lies between and to the west of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. This area is a low-lying area that was formed when the Arabian Plate moved under the Iranian Plate, and the depression in which southern and central Mesopotamia were created from the collision of these two plates. Northern Mesopotamia is hillier, with rolling plains that lead up to the mountains around them. One of the key mountain ranges is the Zagros Mountains that runs from the northwest to the southeast, and that was created when the Eurasian and Arabian tectonic plates collided. The Zagros Mountains run for over 900 miles, and they form the eastern border with Iran, and the northeastern area is Iraqi Kurdistan. Some mountains in this mountain range, such as Mount Ararat or Jüridaj, on the border with Turkey and Iran, are over 16,000 feet high, so they form a formidable border between these two regions. On the other side of the Zagros Mountains is the Great Iranian Plateau, which we will return to when we discuss the Persians. The mountains of the Zagros were home to groups of semi-nomadic peoples who often invaded Mesopotamia, so you will hear me refer to mountain tribes that come from the Zagros Mountains frequently throughout the course. We often don't have a lot of information about these tribes, other than the fact that they invaded, and they form a somewhat mysterious group. The Zagros Mountains join with the Taurus Mountains to the north, and this forms the northern border of Mesopotamia. Beyond this was Anatolia, which is the term for ancient Turkey, and Anatolia was an important trading region. We will see that the metal tin was an especially important resource that was brought from Anatolia. And again, throughout the course, you'll hear me refer to Anatolian cultures, Anatolian resources. This was an area in which there were frequent contacts. We've seen the northern and the eastern borders. To the west of the Euphrates River are deserts, the Arabian Desert. And these arid regions separate Mesopotamia from the Levantine coast, which was called for antiquity, Syria-Palestine, or the Levant. These deserts were formidable and could not really be crossed until the advent of the camel in the first millennium. But that does not mean that they were desolate. We know that there are some animals that showed connections to Africa. Kings refer to ostriches that they hunted. And there were also groups of, again, nomadic tribes.